Today, as our preacher, it is our privilege to have our senior warden, Chris Cherist.
Good morning. Growing up as a middle child in my family, competition, lying, and subversion were mainstays in my life. I was constantly competing with my siblings, looking for any way I could to one-up them, to look better in the light in my parents' eyes. Despite all the fighting, lying, and downright ruthlessness I employed in my youth, it has always been clear to me that I am my parents' favorite son. I graduated college on time with honors. I immediately found a job. I was the first of my siblings to marry. I was the first to produce a grandchild. And to this day, I am the only one to produce a granddaughter. I feel this is a pretty impressive resume. We won't even go over my brother's resume. Notice I did say favorite son, because I realized a long time ago I lost the favorite child competition to my sister. In today's gospel, we witness competition and pettiness between the disciples. More accurately, the competition between James, John, and Peter. These three are Jesus' inner circle. Jesus took them with him on several occasions to witness major events, leaving the other disciples behind. So is it too far of a reach to think that these three felt they were deserving of something more? As today's gospel occurs, the disciples are traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem. Immediately prior to today's reading, Mark tells us that Jesus had predicted and spoke of his impending death. In doing research for today's sermon, many scholars said they believe that the disciples failed to believe or comprehend Jesus' prediction of his death. I, however, disagree. I feel James and John comprehended and believed every word that Jesus told them. They had given up their lives to follow him and learn from their Messiah. They were in Jesus' inner circle. They were who he trusted, who he loved. James and John heard Jesus. They see the end, and they see their chance to secure their status. Maybe it was that, with that in mind, that James and John felt emboldened to ask Jesus, "Grant to us that we may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in glory." It has often been said, the worst thing that can happen to anybody in sports is to finish fourth place in the Olympic Games. World-class athletes work and sacrifice, honing their bodies, their minds, their skills, their games, for 4 years, maybe even their whole life, for that one shot, only to finish fourth, never to make the podium, never to make the record books. So close, but to be forgotten by history. So how can we blame James and John for being human? They know in their hearts that they are two of Jesus' favorites, just like I know in my heart that I am still my parents' favorite son. I even signed my mom's Christmas presents that way. You see how easy it is to elevate oneself above others and throw them under a bus? In their minds, all James and John have to do to make the podium is to beat one man. They just have to beat Peter. Simple enough, they thought. We will just trick the Son of God into seating us at his side. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we will ask. As a parent, I can tell you, this is a terrible plan. What parent, what teacher would grant this request without gathering further information? Jesus responds like any good parent or teacher would. What do you want from me? James and John are now painted into a corner. They have no choice but to ask Jesus. We want to be seated at your left and right hand. Jesus responds, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Even after Jesus made it clear to the disciples that a place at the podium was not his to give away, the other disciples don't get it. The 10 of them begin arguing amongst themselves who is best and who deserves a spot, a place of honor beside Jesus. You see, the irony of today's gospel is that when Jesus took his place on the throne, he was not draped by disciples. He had two thieves by his side. Does this fighting and arguing sound strikingly familiar? Does it sound strikingly human? Does it sound strikingly like family? You see, what makes a family is not the petty arguments, the fighting, or the jockeying for position that we all do. It is a bond. It's the love and sacrifice that individuals make for each other in times of crisis. The gospel today, we don't get the whole story. The story is not about the arguments or the competition of a group of individual men. The real story is about how a group of individuals realized that they were brothers and started a revolution. Without the disciples, Christianity stops at the cross. Jesus laid the cornerstone of Christianity, but his family built the church. Without brotherhood, family, and sacrifice of the disciples, we would not be sitting here today celebrating our Lord and Savior. You may be sitting out there listening to me and asking yourself, that's great, but what does this have to do with stewardship? What does argument among the disciples have to do with stewardship? Well, the answer is nothing and everything. The story of arguments, pride, greed, and pettiness have nothing to do with stewardship. But the underlying story of family has everything to do with it. Jesus asked James and John what they wanted from him, and they laid it out, and then he laid it out to his disciples. You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But the disciples didn't get it. It took Jesus dying on the cross for the disciples to realize what Jesus was saying. All who drink from the cup and all who are baptized in the water are the family of God. Family, defined in its simplest form, is all the descendants of a common ancestor. How awesome is that? Through baptism and through communion, we are all family. We are all descendants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop at the doors of All Saints. We are family with Grace Lutheran. We are family with brothers and sisters in this community. We are family with those who are suffering in Eastern North Carolina, who are suffering in Florida, who are suffering in Haiti, and who are suffering throughout the world. We are family with all denominations of Christianity, and we are family with all Christians throughout the world because we are all from one common ancestor. This is why an argument among the disciples is not the moral of today's story. Because family is stronger than individuals, and it rises above any and all crisis. We at All Saints have had, do have, and will have disagreements and arguments in the future. But ultimately, they don't matter. The Episcopal Church has had disagreements among itself, but ultimately, they do not matter. We have joked about other denominations, and other denominations have joked about us. We have put them down, they have put us down. But in the shadow of the cross, none of these arguments matter. because we are all from one cup, one baptism, one common ancestor. It all boils down to one simple equation. God equals family. As I was preparing for today's sermon, one question kept coming to me, and I couldn't get it out of my head all week. I'm going to pose that question for you this morning. What are you not willing to do, to sacrifice, to give, to protect and serve your family? What was Jesus not willing to do for us? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen.